Good evening. Welcome back to our services. Last week, Sunday morning, I did a lesson, and it dealt with the series on contemporary worship. And one of the things I mentioned in the lesson was that just slapping on a label something doesn't make it Christian. And I gave an example of a church in Ohio that we saw that went into an abandoned movie theater, and it was located on a strip mall. I guess you'd call it, that's what you'd call it. And seemed like every time we'd pass by, every week or so we'd go by, and another store would be the word this or the word that, the word grocery store and the word optometry store, and it just kept going down the whole line. And somewhere along the line, people began to think that the term Christian is an adjective. It's describing a person or an adverb, that it's modifying an action. But the fact of the matter is, the word Christian is a proper name. And just slapping that word on something doesn't by itself change the nature of something. And as a result of that, people have become quite a bit confused in the world today. Recently, if you watch the news, there's a whole lot of different opinions about what a Christian is. I've seen on Facebook and on television individuals standing up and proudly saying, "I'm a homosexual, I'm a Christian, and that's okay." How can that be okay when the teaching of Jesus' apostles expressly forbid that action? And individuals will teach doctrines that not only contradict the Scriptures, but contradict each other, and yet they'll say, it's okay, we're still Christians. A number of years ago, there were brethren going around saying something along the lines of, we are the only Christian, and that took a lot of people, offended a lot of people, and so somebody, and I can't remember who the author was, but someone wrote a tract or a book that basically said, not the only Christians, but Christians only. And that's basically what this lesson is going to be about. There's a lot of confusion today about what it is to be a Christian. And even beyond that, what type of a Christian you are. So what we're going to look at this evening, basically 3 points. We're going to look at the idea of what is called the law of harvest. We'll recognize that the seed to be sown is the Word of God, and then we'll examine the importance of pure seed being spread. So first of all, let's look at this idea of the law of harvest. In the book of Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 6, the Apostle Paul is trying to make an important point, stress an important point, to the saints in Galatia. He begins in verse 6, he says, "Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart." Here's an important point for us to understand. And that is, Paul was using an agricultural fact to emphasize a spiritual point. What he said was, God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you will reap. Now, we know that just from practical thing. I'm not a farmer by any means, but I know if I go out and I plant pumpkin seeds, I shouldn't expect watermelons. Or if we put tomatoes in the ground, I'm not going to be looking for an apple tree. That's not the way things work. what you put in the ground, although it's a seed and doesn't look like the final product, what you put in the ground, whatever seed that is, that's the product you're going to wind up with. God says, don't be mocked. If you sow to the flesh, the result is corruption. The flesh is corruptible. All flesh will die. Everything material will end. And if you sow to that, you'll reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, then from the Spirit you will reap everlasting life. Now, this is an agricultural fact that Paul used to illustrate that if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap everlasting life. That's the law of harvest, and it's that simple. There's other corollaries. One of them is, as you sow, so also shall you reap. If you sow a little bit, you're going to get a lot. A farmer isn't dumb enough to think if he goes out and sows a little bit of seed in the corner of a pasture that at harvest time the whole pasture is going to be full. And the same thing is true of spreading the gospel. If we're not spreading seed, we shouldn't expect to reap any results. We have to sow the seed in order to receive it. But now I want to turn your attention to this idea that the seed is the Word of God. In Luke chapter 8 and other passages in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus shares a parable with his disciples. You're familiar with the parable. I'm not going to read all of that. But basically, Jesus described a man who went out and he began to sow seed. And some of the seed fell on the pathway. Another fell on stony ground. Some fell among the thorns and some fell on good soil. And the produce had different results. The ones that fell on the pathway, the birds came and ate it before it had a chance to take root. And then some fell on stony ground and it grew up real fast, but then died because it had no depth of soil. And then there was some that grew up in the thorns, and as it grew up, those thorns choked it out. But the seed that fell on the good soil, it produced some 30-fold, some 50, some 100-fold. Now, the disciples were a little bit confused by this. And they asked him, what does this parable mean? And Jesus said in verse 11, now the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God. Jesus was going to be sending his disciples out. They were going to be preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And it was going to fall on all sorts of hearts. Some would reject it out of hand before they even considered it. Others might consider it, but they didn't really try and build any depth in their knowledge and their growth. And when persecution came, it was easier to leave. Some would grow, but the world would take away their love of the Lord. But some would land on their hearts. It would take root and it would grow. And even in the best of situations, some might produce 30, some might produce 50, some might produce 100-fold. But the point was that the same seed had different results. Here's the important fact. Jesus wasn't talking about a man sowing different types of seed as he went out. Poor seed here, better seed here, and worse seed over here. All the seed is the Word of God. And the apostles might go about sowing that seed and not get the kind of results that they would have expected. But he said, sow the seed. The seed is the Word of God. Now here's an important, here's an interesting fact. In Israel, while excavating the Mount at Masada, they discovered a cache of seeds that had been stored. And they figure they were probably stored some 2,000 years ago. That's the last time Masada was really occupied. And so they held on to these seeds for a number of years. But in 2005, they decided to take some of those seeds and plant them and see if they could get those seeds to grow. The plant you see here is called Methuselah. Of course, a take on the oldest man that ever lived. But what sprouted was a date palm. Now, they tell me this is a date palm. I told you I'm not much of a farmer. And I don't know how, but they say this is a male date farm. I don't know how you'd tell the difference. You can't exactly lift it up and look underneath it. But this is a male date palm, and they put the seed in the ground, and they grew. And here's the important fact. What the very same seed that was planted 2,000 years ago is the exact same plant that grew even over 2,000 years of time. Time didn't change that. The same seed resulted in the same thing. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, that also shall you reap. So it is with God's word. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, Peter said, "Since you have purified your souls through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God." Brothers and sisters, we have been born again by the seed, which is the Word of God. The gospel that was planted in our hearts, the produce was a Christian. And when the gospel is planted, and only the gospel is planted, that's the only thing that can result. The same seed that was spread in the hearts of men in the first century that made Christians, when that same seed is spread today, will produce nothing else but Christians. And that's important for us to understand that the result of sowing this seed is the same thing. Now, I showed you the Methuselah bush. Here's another plant. The Russians, apparently not wanting to be outdone, were digging in the tundra, and they found a small cache of seeds that they believed some squirrel had planted, or some squirrel-like creature. They claim that these seeds were 32,000 years ago. I don't believe it. I don't believe the world is that old, but they're saying these seeds were 32,000 years ago. However old the seeds were, one thing we know, and that is, whatever that seed was that was planted, when they planted it, this is what they got. They didn't sow wheat and come up with this. I don't know what this is. They've got a fancy name for it. It looks to me something like a buttercup. But whatever it was, some type of a meadow flower, when it was planted in, I think it was 2011, the same plant grew that would have planted had it grown, had it sprouted back whenever the squirrel buried it, if a squirrel buried it. But here's the important thing to understand. This flower no longer exists in the natural world. It was extinct. And so, even though after all of those years, the grass never grew, with that seed still being in existence, when they plant it, the flower is once again alive. Now, here's another important point. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 24 and 25, Peter uses the flower of the grass as an illustration. He says, "All flesh is his grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flowers fall away, but the word of the Lord endures forever." Now, this is the word by the gospel which was preached to you. Jesus promised, the apostles promised, that his word would not pass away. The flowers of the field, the grass of the field wither and fade. These plants we looked at a minute ago withered and fade, and there was a time where they ceased to exist as far as history was concerned. But God's word will not pass away. It will endure forever. And that is the gospel which was preached in the first century, and that is the gospel that needs to be preached today. Now, the next point we're going to look at is this idea of the importance of pure seed. You know, when you go out into the store and buy a certain seed, grass seed, I'll say in particular. If you go in there and you look at the grass seed and they have five different types, they have labels on it. And it'll tell you what type of grass seed that is, because there's several different types. And they'll tell you what other type of weeds might be in that and what percentage of weeds that you expect in it. And so if you really care a lot about your lawn, you're going to get the seed that has the least weed as possible, right? The purity of that seed is important to you if you care about your lawn. And the same thing is true when a farmer goes out and he sows wheat or sows anything. He wants pure seed. He wants to make sure that what he sows is not full of all sorts of weed. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and the scribes. He called them hypocrites. He said in verse 7 of Matthew chapter 15, "Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" Jesus was angry that these Pharisees were teaching something that was not pure seed. Now, when Jesus spoke, it was during the Mosaic dispensation, but the Word of God was still the Word of God. And he says, these men are not teaching pure seed. They're teaching blended seed. And he said the result of it was, because they were teaching false doctrine, because they were teaching as doctrine the commandments of men, he said, in vain they worship me. That's why pure seed is so important. Number one, if we sow it, our worship is in vain. Our hearts are far from God. We do not honor Him as He wishes to be honored. A little bit farther down in that passage, in verse 10, we read, "When He called the multitude to Himself, He said to them, 'Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man.' Then His disciples came and said to Him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?' But He answered and said, 'Every plant which My heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They're blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch.'" That's the second important reason we need to sow pure seed. Because every plant which My heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. The Lord only gave us one seed to sow. That's the gospel. If we're sowing something else, it's only going to be uprooted anyway. It's not pleasing to God. And therefore, to sow the wrong seed or impure seed, the result is going to be that it's going to be uprooted. In 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 10, Peter said, "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." Notice what he says. He says, if you speak, if you minister, if you speak in ministering, speak as the oracles of God. That word oracle is an old word that basically means a prophet. And what he's saying is, speak as the prophets. You know, the prophets, the Old Testament prophets, when they spoke, they would say, "Thus saith the Lord." And if they were found to be false prophets, if something that they said the Lord had said would come to pass didn't come to pass, they were subject to death under the law of Moses. It was that serious. Peter said, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Don't speak more, don't speak less. You speak as God would have you to speak. You speak the prophecies of the Lord. You speak the pure seed. Anybody ever see this symbol? If you're on Facebook, you see this, probably see this now and again. There's a big movement. People are concerned about what they call GMOs. GMOs are genetically modified organism. It's an organism or microorganism whose genetic material has been altered by means of genetic engineering. What it means is this. They will take some natural seed, say corn in this case, and then they'll mix with it some genes from, say, peanuts. And the idea is to get more corn, or maybe it'll thrive better in different things. Something different comes out. It's not pure corn. And the reason it's a concern to a lot of people is because people are concerned if you do that mingling and you put this out there, we don't know what impact that's going to have on the environment. You know, you put the wrong type of seed in the right type of an environment and it just takes over. Or you take something and you change the genes and you eat it, and our body is used to absorbing it one way, it may have some effects that we don't plan on, that we cannot foresee. And so people are very concerned about that. In the state of Colorado, we have a facility that's called the Genetic Preservation Research Facility. And basically what they're doing, they're stockpiling every type of natural seed known in the world. I believe the number is 600,000 seeds at present. But they're trying to gather up everything. Why is that? Because what happens if there's some big environment? Now, they're thinking global warming is going to just devastate the world. And as a result, we have to have this backup. Or maybe a comet's going to fly in and destroy the earth, and we've got to have. And there's all sorts of things. They don't have the confidence that we do in God, that God says this earth is promised to be here until God takes it away by fire. Yes, there's going to be disasters here and there from time to time, but the earth as a whole will last until God says enough. But nevertheless, these people are concerned. They want to have pure seed in case some big catastrophe happens, that they can replenish the earth with pure seed. They know that what you plant is important, and the purity of it is important. Now, let's look at a mathematical fact. We looked at a agricultural fact before. This is going back to my college days. I didn't go to college. But these are some basic facts that we know. 1 + 2 = 3. Well, if we take one number and we add anything to it, these are called add-ins, anything we add to this number is going to change the sum. If we add 3 to 1, we get 4. If we add 8 to 1, we get 9. The only way that 1 can remain unchanged is if we add 0 to it. It is a mathematical fact that anything you add to an add-in will change that sum except 0. We know that, right? Simple. Let's look at a scientific fact. This is regarding colors. Maybe it's an artistic fact. But you take a basic color like yellow. Anything that you add to it is going to change that color. If you add blue, you're going to get green. If you add red, you're going to get orange. Anything that you add to it will change it except nothing. It is a scientific fact that anything you add to a color will change the color except nothing. We know that. We recognize that. Well, it is a logical fact that anything you add to a doctrine will change that doctrine except for nothing. If you add anything to a doctrine, It changes the doctrine. It's not the same doctrine. It's something different. The only way that the doctrine remains the same is if you add nothing to it or take nothing away. If you want the gospel, you must sow, if you want a Christian rather, you must sow the gospel and add nothing to it. Why is this important to us today? Well, because there are men who are adding things to that pure gospel of the kingdom. Do you know that if you want to be a Roman Catholic Christian, you cannot just take the gospel. You have to add something to it. When Peggy's mother was alive, we had conversations with her and talked about the importance of the Bible, and she told us, I don't know how many times she told tell us, the Bible is only 1/10 of religion. Well, she was right as far as the Catholic religion. That's probably about the right right ratio, too, because they believe that all of the popes who've lived over the years and all of the priests with authority, everything that they've written, everything that they've said, that is the authority of God. And so the church has changed over the years because they've added all of these things. They don't see any problem with that. They understand that. And it's true. If you want to be a Roman Catholic, you can't do it just with the Bible. You have to take the Vatican Council or the words of the Catholic Church. The same thing is true of a Methodist. You can't take just the gospel and become a Methodist. You have to add to it the Methodist Book of Discipline. The same thing is true about becoming a Baptist. You cannot just sow the gospel and come up with a Baptist. You have to add things such as the Hiscock Guide for Baptist Churches. You have to add other things or take away certain things in order to be something other than a Christian, because if you sow the gospel only, you will have a Christian only and nothing else. God is not mocked. And so what we need to recognize is not to sow anything other than what God has sown. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians. He'd been there. He'd preached them. He'd taught them. And yet he said in verse 6, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. That word accursed means condemned. And that's strong language. Paul included himself in this. He said, listen, you heard the gospel. You believed the gospel. You received it. You obeyed it. And if anybody comes back and teaches something other than that, let them be accursed. Even if it's me. Even if it's an angel from heaven. Do you know there's several major religions and two major cults, three major cults really, that attribute their teaching to the appearance of some angel. Some angel came and gave them additional teaching. Paul knew that people would say that. If you want to impress somebody, you got to come up with an extraordinary claim. And what could be more extraordinary than saying an angel came to me and gave me this message? Paul said, no. Even if I come back to you and teach any other doctrine, if an angel from heaven preaches any other gospel, let him be accursed. When we change the gospel by adding human doctrine, by adding or taking away from that pure gospel, we seek to pervert the true gospel of Christ. And such, Paul says, should be accursed. This is so important to Paul that he emphasized it again in verse 9. He said, as I said before, So now I say again, if anyone teaches any other gospel to you than that which you've received, let him be accursed. That's an important fact that we need to know. And so when we seek to have a Christian, we must sow the gospel and nothing else. And the result is that we will have just a Christian. That's why it's so important. If you want to be pleasing to God, then receive the seed that He's sown. Don't let men alter it, because if they're accursed, then certainly those who follow them are accursed as well. They're not the fruit that the Lord has planted. One other point. In John chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Here's an important fact. Jesus was again appealing to agricultural knowledge in order to emphasize something. And what he said is, I am the branch. You are the vine. Every branch in me that bears fruit, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, God takes away. And every branch in me that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. It is our responsibility as Christians to bear fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of other disciples, the works that we do as Christians, those are all fruits. And we have a responsibility in Christ to bear fruit. The seed that is sown will produce the product that the Lord wants. And then it is our responsibility in Christ to bear fruit. Sow the Word of God and nothing else. Because what you sow, that you will reap. If you're here and you're not a Christian, then you're sowing the wrong seed. You might be sowing to the world, sowing to yourself. It really doesn't matter. If you're to be pleasing to God, you must sow to the Spirit in order to reap everlasting life. So we encourage you to do that tonight. Obey the Lord. Submit to Him. If you're a Christian and you're not living as you should, you're sowing the wrong seed. You're not producing the fruit that you ought to be. You're not pleasing to God. We urge you, repent of that. Confess those sins to the Lord and pray for forgiveness. And if we can help you in any way, please come to the front while together we stand and sing.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a